Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Chad, you are headed to Edley's after the show today, is that right?
I am indeed. I will be ordering up, and I saw that they put this on Instagram last night. I'm going to order up one of their lasagnas that they've made. It's a take-and-bake lasagna with brisket in it. They have brisket, pork, chicken, different options for a lasagna that they're making
for
the carryout. So I'm going to do this, take it back, and we'll bake it, heat it up tonight for the entire family. So for $20, you can get that lasagna. So I will be placing an order on the Edley's app, which they do have an app where you can order.
And we tweeted out the details on how you can download the app, and we'll retweet those again right now, where if you have the Droid or the iPhone, however you download your apps for your phone, we'll send that out, and that's how you can pick up curbside pickup and order that through the Edley's app today. Doug Matthews joins us. Nice enough to rearrange the schedule a bit so we can talk with Dr. Bill Schaffner today at 11:15. Doug, as always, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Drunk you makes bad decisions, so make a plan before you party. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Doug, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Hope you all are. Sounds like you're all doing well.
We are. Thank you for asking. And, it's been a tough week or so, but it's tough on everybody right now. I hope you and your family doing well on that end, too. Sports news goes on. Sports may not be playing, but there's plenty of news involving COVID-19 and the pandemic and how it's affected the NCAA. Seniors are receiving an extra year of eligibility for spring sports across the board. What did you think of the NCAA's decision? Fair?
I thought it was more than fair, and when you really look at it, it's not nearly as costly as one would think. Remember, almost all the spring sports now, this covers any sport that is a true spring sport. Basketball, of course, they're not going to – anything that was in the fall and the spring that you had a crossover, if the majority of your season – and I think basketball, both women's and men's, the only two sports that are affected by that, they're not extending anything on that. But all the spring sports, they are. But, you know, when you look at it, and I this kind of made me go back and look and pull up exactly – what spring sports scholarship limits are, there's very few, if any, athletes in the spring sports that are on full scholarship. For instance, let's just go baseball. Baseball gets 11.7 scholarships, total scholarships. Spring sports, unlike men's and basketball and football, you cannot have split scholarships in men's football, well, men's basketball and football. If you're on scholarship there, it has to be a full scholarship. However, all of the spring sports, you're allowed to split those up. You can take a full scholarship, give somebody books, get somebody tuition, get somebody a room, give somebody board. So you can split those up. And so you're really not talking about a whole lot when you look at this. The other part of this that's interesting is, and you had to kind of dig down and look at this, any senior that wants to come back, it has to be a senior, fourth year of eligibility, any senior that wants to come back can, but here's a couple of caveats in there. Number one, if you keep them on scholarship, and keep them on the scholarship they had, it cannot be any larger amount than they were receiving in 2019-2020. But here's the other interesting caveat in there, guys. You can agree to bring Doug Matthews back. He may be getting books and board, but when room and board or any other partial, but you don't have to give him that. So I'm sure many of these athletes, if they decide to come back, are going to come back, but they're probably not going to get any aid at all. So it's not really a huge step. Nice that they did it. Not really a huge step, though, by the NCAA. And one other final thing on this. The other pretty neat thing about this, and I think this is NCAA learning from the transfer portal and the waiver situation. The universities have full control. They can bring anybody back they want or not bring them back if they don't want. But, again, there's no reason not to bring them back because you can bring them back they're not going to be on scholarship if you don't want them to, and they have to pay their own way. So actually, it's a pretty good deal for the NCAA. Good PR, and not really many out-of-pocket expenses.
Yeah, I don't even think it's – I mean, I guess it's great PR on its face. I mean, I would think a low percentage of kids are actually going to be able to come back. They're, like you said, very few are going to get an offer of even what they had. And then they got to find classes to take. They got to get most of them, you would presume, are done with school. They got to get into graduate school, right, to find something to take. This is a lot of window dressing stuff here. Then you got to make it through a semester to get to your season. Then the coach has to want you back. There might be a couple stars he wants back, but he's also got a class coming in and a lot of kids. They're going to be victims here who were in the pipeline maybe to step up, and all of a sudden their team now has more guys than the coach was accounting for. It's messy.
Well, it is. Now, one other thing, too, on that, Paul, they are also extending or eliminating. There are no roster limits now. If you had a roster, say, of 25 in baseball or whatever it is, now that can be extended as far as you want it. I would think exactly what you said. Most of the spring sport athletes, well, most athletes, period, by the time they get to their senior year or have graduated, many of them have graduated before or by the end of their senior year. So academically, probably that's true. I think you're exactly right there. The one I would think that probably the athletes in the sports where you can go pro or Olympic type sports where you're training for that, they would probably want to come back. I would doubt that very, very few though athletes are coming back, because again, I don't know of any. I'm sure there are a few. I don't know of any spring sport athlete that's on full scholarship because of the scholarship limitations.
And Doug, as we know, when you're forced to rush things through, and look, they made the decision they had to make here, but there are always things that they probably didn't consider, and they'll look back on and find a few things along the way as this progresses. But they had to make a decision for these kids.
They did, and I'll say this: it was primarily the athletes themselves that were pushing for this, and got it through. You know, without having to go through committee after committee after committee, got it right in front of the NCAA panel, and they approved it. Again, nice gesture, decent PR, as Paul said, but really not much to this at all.
We're talking about spring sports and some of the things going on with that. When we come back, I'm going to ask Coach about the possibility of no college football season and what that would mean, the ramifications for a lot of these spring non-revenue sports and other non-revenue sports, if that revenue doesn't take place in college football this year.
Doug Matthews with us. He's presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. More college football discussion coming up with Doug Matthews, but first, a word from Coach.
Let me talk a little about StroudsDelivery.com. Now, you know from listening to the shows over the years that you're just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store. Well, now you're even closer than that. They'll bring it right to your doorstep if you want. StroudsDelivery.com, that's the website. You go on there, hit the location tag, that tab, that will bring up the menu. Click on what you want, give your payment information, give your address. They will tell you then exactly when you can expect that delivery at your front door. If you want to leave it outside, fine. If you want them to hit the doorbell or knock on the door and hand it to you, that's fine also. Remember, StroudsDelivery.com, and you're still just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store.
As we stay in place, we're giving you sports. The Sports Station. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Doug Matthews with us on the road. He's always presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. There's no need to consult the playbook. The winning play is to always designate a sober driver. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Doug, we know that in a lot of schools and a lot of cases, college football pays for a lot of other non-revenue sports. if this COVID-19 thing continues and we lose a football season, let's say, in college football, how damaging could that be for a lot of these non-revenue sports at different schools?
Well, you're looking at I don't want to call it a disaster. That would be too strong. But every sport up there, every sport in every university is funded. Men's basketball would be another one. But men's football and men's basketball and football fund them all. And, of course, the great majority of that definitely comes from from football. And listen, these are huge amounts of money. We saw the money, the millions of dollars that was lost to the university's athletic departments because of the basketball tournament. That was just the NCAA basketball tournament being canceled, millions of dollars. So many of these universities are going to be in bad shape. There are very few. I'm going to talk about this Saturday with Tony Barnhart. There are very few universities who have a rainy day fund enough to handle this. Let's just take Tennessee, for example. Their rainy day fund is well under $5 million. That's not going to do hardly anything. Now, certainly there's other ways universities will work with this, but I'd say by and large, there's going to be major consequences of that happen. Now, hopefully it's not going to get there, but if it does, you're looking at billions of dollars to the Power Five conferences in particular.
And, Doug, let's go a step further with Tennessee in particular. We're going to see athletic departments across the country take hits with this. The departments that have been, you know, in place and had good leadership, they'll be fine. The ones that have low reserves are going to feel the pain. And that's not just any conference that's not a Power Five school. Tennessee, for instance, they're paying football and basketball buyouts. You have the numbers on what they're spending on coaches' buyouts.
This is fascinating to me, and if you like to dig into minutiae of things like I do, I have a lot of time like most of us sports fans do. This is put out by the College Sports Associates, their executive search and consulting. It's collegesportsassociates.com. And just think about this. What it does, it talks about the payouts for coaches for football and basketball. University of Tennessee is number one over a 15-year period of payouts. So they are averaging almost $2.9 million of paying out just coaches, and number one by far in football coaches. So kind of interesting. Auburn's number two, by the way, average, but fascinating. And what does all that come about from? It comes about from obviously making mistakes on hires on coaches, and in my opinion, just doing a very poor job of managing from an athletic director's seat. That's why they got a new athletic director out there. They've gone through a bunch of them. Many other universities, some, not many, are having the same problem. But the amounts of money that are paid out in football and basketball severance pay staffs is phenomenal. Just one quick thing, one quick stat on this, and I encourage you to read it. This is just from the 2018 year alone. All right, five of the 52 public schools, the private schools that weren't part of this, spent more than $10 million in severance payments. Think about that. Tennessee in 2018 alone was $11.5 million. I just let that number sink in a little bit to you. It's a very detailed account, and I encourage you, if you like reading that type of stuff, it's collegesportsassociates.com, and it is excellent.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure you'll have more on that this weekend on your weekend shows. Chad?
Yeah, Coach, recruiting continues for Tennessee and for every other program out there. And Tennessee was able to land a couple of commitments in the last couple of days, one from someone down in Williamson County, Walker Merrill from Brentwood High School. How difficult of a time is this? And we've talked about the creativity needed in terms of staying on top of recruits and everything else, but maybe it's just a coincidence in timing, but it seems like that Tennessee staff is doing a pretty good job of staying on top of prospects that visited their campus right before this shutdown happened and closing in on some of those prospects. They currently have the second-ranked class for 2021 in the SEC, which is a good thing for Vols fans out there.
Well, I think a couple of things, and the universities that did this. Now, these are commitments, and I know other universities have probably done every bit as good a job, athletic departments, football programs, that'll be coming out later. But they got a lot of players in early. A lot of these players, particularly in state, were up as junior prospects a year ago. Their families have been up before all this, the shutdown occurred on it. One interesting thing about the Merrill youngster, again, I don't talk much at all about prospect, but he's here in Brentwood. I actually coached his younger brother, who is a 14-year-old, and with my grandson in T-ball baseball about 10 years ago. So, and I've watched him play. He's fast, a great athlete, and something I like seeing. Again, I'll discuss this more Sunday. Tennessee is now back recruiting in-state athletes. Last year, Tennessee signed 10 football players from the state of Tennessee. That was more in many years, and I think they're continuing that. They got some of their best recruiters in staff. T. Martin, in particular, is recruiting the Middle Tennessee area now, and I think doing an excellent job.
Doug, final thing for you. The four new coaches in the SEC, you mentioned the severance, and I can't help but think that these schools are going to have tough decisions and judgments based on how these coaches get off to their start because of this unusual offseason. They're in a world of hurt with the four new coaches, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi State. Can you begin to imagine what they're up against with the offseason changes they're having to adjust to immediately?
Well, it's a double whammy for three of those four schools. Four, of course, Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Missouri. Mississippi State was the only one that they fired their coach after national signing date. So the other three, again, it's a double whammy for them. They had a very small class because there just weren't that many athletes, football players out there remaining. You know, they got the job roughly the 1st of December. National signing date was around the 20th, so they had a little under 3 weeks to put a staff together, get recruiting going and all of that. They get hit with that, and then they're not going to have a spring practice to put their system in. There's four schools with brand-new coaches. Then there's two more schools, Tennessee and Florida, are going into their third year, so they're pretty much established. And then every other school, the program is four or more. All their coaches have been in place. So that's certainly an advantage, and those coaches are going to have to be very cognizant and what I call using excellent judgment. They're not going to be able to put their whole system in now. They're going to have to decide what can we go into a year with. Regardless of how much time, and there will be some extended practice time, no doubt, from the roughly month that you get because of lack of spring. But it's not going to be, you can't go into pads and you won't be able to do some things like that. So they're really going to have to be very innovative and very smart and use excellent judgment in exactly what they think those players that they have can run and can execute.
What do you have coming up this weekend, Coach?
Well, Saturday with Tony, we're going to dig into a lot. Tony is very tuned in to the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, which puts you in contact with the other commissioners. There is so much time now, much more interaction between athletic directors. Every single day in this conference, I'm sure in the others too, but in the Southeastern Conference, athletic directors have a video meeting every single day. There are so many issues that are facing them. And much like all of us are and every business is with what's going on from the virus, you don't know. So you have to, there's got to be a lot of planning. Some of it will never come to fruition. Other parts of it will. So athletic directors right now are earning their money, believe me.
Doug, thank you as always, and we will catch up again next week.
You bet. Take care.